Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned Hashomea al Meso and Vahamalakate Atzomois. The Mishnah mentioned at the top line, you can see Havamalakate Loi Atzomois. This we described in our previous shiur as reinterring one's the remains of one's parents. The Mishnah mentioned that such a person, if it turns out that he's reinterring them on the 14th of Nisan, he immerses himself in the mikveh and is fit for having the Korban Pesach processed for him, and he'll partake of it that evening, the evening following this reinterment. The Gemara asks, Malakit Atzomos, one who is gathering bones, ha boy hazor shlishi ushvi. Does he not require the application of the Pora Aduma water? The hazor is the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water. This is a mixture of water with the ashes of the red heifer that are sprinkled on an individual that encountered defilement to the dead. And it is applied to him over the course of a week on the third day and the seventh day of his purification days. Without that, he doesn't leave the status of being a Tomei Meis. So, how is it that if he gathered bones, which involves defilement to the dead, that very evening he's suitable and eligible for the Korban Pesach? The Gemara answers, Ema shiliktu loy atzamos. Not as we thought that malakit means he himself, the person himself, is gathering the bones. Rather, others were doing it, and the child whose parents' bones were reinterred, he does not become tome. He's not exposing himself to defilement. Others are doing that, but we say that he observes one day of Avelus, as we explained in our previous shiur, one day of mourning, but that night he already is considered eligible for the Korban Pesach. Ger shenizgayer v'chulei. Our Mishnah made reference to someone who converted to Judaism on the 14th of Nisan. So on the 14th of Nisan, technically speaking, he is a Jew. Beis Shammai, we saw in the Mishnah, says that he is, all he does is he immerses himself and is eligible that evening to partake of the Korban Pesach. So it is processed for him on the 14th. Beis Hillel disagreed. Omar Rabo Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. And take note of the fact we have a long point that's about to be made. We'll be using diamonds to highlight the shitos of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and the expression machlokis in Divrei HaKol, under what circumstances is there a machlokis and at what point is there agreement, so we highlight that expression with the double underline. So Rav Yochanan tells us machlokis be'orel nochri. Now, to make the reading easier, we skip the bracketed section, and you see how smoothly the Gemara continues to read, Avol Orel Yisrael Divrei HaKol Tovil V'Oichel Es Pischolo Erev. V'lo Gazrinan Orel Yisrael Mishum Orel Nochri. So, the Rabbi Yochanan's point is, he tells us under what circumstances there is a Machlokes. However, when it comes to an Orel Yisrael, that means a person who had been uncircumcised until the 14th of Nisan. Well, someone like that, who was a person, a Jewish person, not a convert, but a Jewish person who simply had remained uncircumcised, when it comes to the 14th of Nisan, so he, if he happens to be circumcised that day, so he's fit for eating the Korban Pesach that night, even according to Beis Hillel. Let us now go over the bracketed section. We have to explain what is the machlokes when it comes to a convert, someone who converts to Judaism, and he had circumcised, he becomes circumcised on the 14th of Nisan. Before we get into the Gemara itself and the explanation in the brackets, we would like to just a word of background, and that is that defilement in general applies only to the Jewish people. That we speak about a Jewish person who became defiled. A Gentile, from the Torah standpoint, does not, while he is alive, he does not become defiled. He is not subject to defilement. So that all the phenomenon that we speak about in the context of defilement in the Torah, we're speaking about Jewish people. They became defiled. They became tomei. A goy, a non-Jew, is not subject to all of the laws concerning defilement. Again, once again, on a Torah level discussion, that's the case. With that word of background, let us now go back to the Gemara. After Rabbi Yochanan tells us that there's a machlokes ba'orel nochri, where Beis Hillel says they have to wait a week before they become fit for a Korban Pesach. As Beis Hillel said, HaPurish in the Mishnah, he said, Purish min ha'orlo ke purish min ha'kever. Gentile who converts, it's like he left a grave. And defilement to a grave involves a seven-day cleansing period. So the Gemara says, the Beis Hillel Savri, Gezeiro shemo itmo l'shona habo. This convert who converted on the 14th of Nisan, if we allow him to immediately benefit that evening from the Korban Pesach, we're afraid of a situation where a year later he will become Tomei. A year later, as a full-fledged Jew, he'll become Tomei. V'yomar, and he'll say, Eshtaked, Eshtaked means last year, Milo tovalti ve'ochalti, did I not immerse myself and immediately that evening eat from the Korban Pesach? And he'll remember that that's what happened last year. He immersed himself and after his conversion and ate, if we would allow that. Achshav nami, this year too, et bol ve'ochal. All I have to do is immerse myself in the mikveh and I can eat this evening the Korban Pesach. For lo yoda, and he won't be aware, deshtaked nochri havi, that last year he had been a Gentile, and whatever tumah he was exposed to had no meaning, had no consequence. For lo makabel tumah, and as such he doesn't absorb tumah. Achshav, but this year, Yisrael, umakabel tumah. This year he is a Jew, and he was makabel tumah. So in order to preempt this from happening, we already at his conversion stage, we say, very nice, you converted, but from the point of conversion till you're able to eat the Korban Pesach, you've got to wait a week. So he'll understand that as a result of becoming Tomei, you don't have immediate Tahara. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, who were more lenient, so one of the rare cases that you find this, but Beis Shammai, Savri, Lo Gazrinon. Beis Shammai says, we don't impose this rabbinic restriction. Avol Orel Yisrael, Divrei HaKol Toivel V'Yocheles, Pischo Lo Erev. But a person who was born Jewish, and he happened to have been circumcised, so you can immerse and immediately that evening eat the Korban Pesach. The Lo Gazrinon Orel Yisrael Mishum Orel Nochri. And we don't go so far as to impose a restriction on an Orel Yisrael, an Orel, someone who was uncircumcised as a Jew in anticipation of the person who's converting. Tanyo Nami Hochi. And we have a Tanaic source that supports this teaching of Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Rib Shimon ben Elozer, Lo Nechliku, Be Shamay Ube Silel, Al Orel Yisrael, Shetovo Ve'ochelis Pischol Oerev. Rib Shimon Elozer, as a Tana, he is telling us that there's no machlokes regarding the Orel Yisrael, and notice we're using the double underlining as we did just before. Under what circumstances is there agreement, and under what circumstances is there controversy? So there's no controversy regarding the Orel Yisrael. Al Ma Nechliku, Al Orel Nochri. Shebeishamai Omrim Tovo V'Yochel Es Pischol Oerev. Beishamai is lenient and says he can immerse himself and immediately that evening eat from the Korma Pesach. Ubeishilol Omrim HaPoresh Min HaOrlo KePoresh Min HaKever. One who leaves his foreskin through circumcision is tantamount to one who left a grave and hence needs to wait a week. Before we go further, just let us together learn the Rashi who explains this. Machlokes Boreil Nochri, we're looking at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. She'eno Mekabel Tuma B'Nochri Yuso. As a Gentile, he doesn't absorb Tuma. The Beis Hillel Safri, Beis Hillel who is restrictive and says he has to wait. He can't immediately immerse himself and eat from the Korban Pesach that night. They hold Gzero Shemo Yitmo B'Meis L'Shona Habo Erev HaPesach. We're afraid of a situation where he becomes Tomei Meis on the 14th of Nisan a year later as a full-fledged Jew, V'yomar, and he'll think to say, Eshtaked, Lo Tiharti Mikol Tumos, Ad Yom Erev Pesach Shinis Gayarti, V'tovalti V'lchalti. Is it not so that all the other Tumos last year, when it came to Erev Pesach, I was able to finish them all off? And all I had to do was immerse myself in the mikveh, and I ate that evening, the Korban Pesach. V'hashtanami, this year too, et Erev Pesach, I'll do the same thing, et bol v'echol, I'll immerse myself and eat this evening, the Korban Pesach. V'lo yoda, and he's not aware, d'eshtaked nochri havi, last year, he was able to do that, the immersion and quick eating, because he had been a Gentile. And as a Gentile, he doesn't become Tomei. But now, as a Jew, whatever Tuma he absorbs on Erev Pesach is real Tuma. Therefore, even when he converts, we say, you've got to wait 7 days. Because after waiting 7 days, you've covered all the different cases of Tuma. After which, a 7-day period, you become then eligible to eat the korban. Rashi goes on to discuss the case of, well, why do you say 7 days? Do you not have an 8-day situation in the case of the Zava or the Ziva case? But we'll leave that aside for right now. The basic idea is understood why Beis Hillel does not allow the convert, the recent convert, on the 14th of Nisan, to immediately immerse himself and eat from the Korban Pesach that evening. We continue with the Gemara. Omar Rava, Orel Hazav V'Izemel. Before we continue with the Gemara, we're very shortly going to see a series of triangles, and they're explained on the side under our Mivneh, Nosei Mivneh heading, where we introduce a topic and structural note. Triangles will appear in two directions. Simonei Halochos, these are to highlight the names of Halochos, Shachachomim Hamidu Divrayim B'Mokom Kores, where there are some cases where the Chachomim said that our restriction is going to be imposed, where there is a even though there's an issue of Kores involved, and we'll try to explain that when we see it in the Gemara, and cases Lohimidu es Divrayim B'Mokom Kores, where the Rabbana didn't impose their restriction in the face of a Kores penalty. Of course, that's very vague, but now we look at the Gemara. Omar Rava, Orel Hazav Izemel, Hemidu Divrayim B'Mokom Kores. In these three cases, we will not explain them yet, but there are three halacha situations where the Chachamim imposed their rabbinic restriction, even though it was at the expense of a mitzvah that's of such a serious nature that there would be a kores penalty. Onenu mitzoro beis hapras lo hemidu divrayim b'mokleim kores. But with regard to these other three halachas, they did not impose their rabbinic restriction because they were confronted with an issue of kores. Now, Aurel ha d'amoran. Aurel, you can see this triangle corresponds to the first of the Roman numeral number one, the first of three halachas. What is the case of Aurel? Well, we already spoke about that. According to Beis Hillel, the goy that converts, he has his Aurel, his arlus is removed. He has converted to Judaism. From the Torah standpoint, he should be doing a Korban Pesach. And now we know that one who does not do a Korban Pesach, one who deliberately doesn't do a Korban Pesach, he's Chayev Kores. So here you have someone that is fit to participate in a Korban Pesach, and yet the Rabbonin are saying, no, according to Beis Hillel, you've got to wait. You can't immerse and take part of it immediately, even though from the Torah standpoint he is fit. But because of the fear of what's going to happen next year, the Rabbonin say they push him off of doing the Korban Pesach this year. So what did we see here? The term was two lines ago, Hamidu Divrahim. They insisted on their regulation, on their ruling in the Bemokam Koris, even though it was at the expense of fulfilling Korban Pesach, which involves a punishment of Koris. Of course, this person isn't going to be punished. The Rabbanan have this power. It's vested in them from the Torah. So have no fear about the person, this convert. We continue. Hazah. The case of Hazah, this is a reference to the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water. If someone, let us say, needs to have, in order to become Tohor from his Tumas Mace, he needs to have the Pora Aduma waters sprinkled on him. The seventh day, we mentioned just before, this is done on the third and seventh days of his clean days, of his purification days. On the seventh day, it just so happens to be the Erev Pesach, but it's also a Shabbos. Now, sprinkling Por Aduma water on a person does not involve any malacha. There is a restriction in doing it on Shabbos because it appears as a tikkun gavra, as if the person is being fixed. And there is an isur doraisa, a Torah prohibition of fixing vessels. And the Rabbanan extend that idea rabbinically to any kind of fixing, as is the case of the fixing of a person, removing him from his Tumas Mace. So we don't do Hazov Por Aduma water on Shabbos. Let's say that Shabbos just so happens to be the 14th of Nisan, and without this guy isn't going to be able to do his Korban Pesach. So the rabbis say, too bad. No Hazov, even though it's at the expense of Korban Pesach, which carries with it a Kores punishment. That's, and now the Gemara in its very terse fashion says, "Di Omar Mor." It was said, "Hazor Shavus," the prohibition of sprinkling Por Aduma water on Shabbos is merely a Shavus, an Isur Durabonan, a rabbinic prohibition. And V'eino Doche Es HaShabbos. However, it doesn't supersede Shabbos. You know, so you won't do it. Shabbos prevents you from doing it, even though he will end up not doing his Korban Pesach. Izemel. The case of the Izemel is a knife, and it's often associated with a bris mila knife, a circumcision knife. What's the case? Now, just a word of introduction. A person, a father, let's say, he cannot do a Korban Pesach if he has uncircumcised children in his house. Children or servants, people that need to be circumcised that are not circumcised, if they are in your household, then you cannot do the Korban Pesach. Now, we have a source that says, Desanya, Kishem She'en Mevian Oisoi Derech Rishus Rabim, on Shabbos. Let us say you have Shabbos, which is the eighth day of a child's life. It's the day for his bris mila. And there is no knife where the child is located. So, you are not allowed on Shabbos to carry a knife through a public thoroughfare in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So just like you're not allowed to bring the knife on Shabbos through a public thoroughfare, and in our scenario we're talking about the Shabbos coinciding with the 14th of Nisan, and he needs to do a Bris Milah, he doesn't have the knife, so it cannot be carried through the streets, through the public streets. Likewise, the knife cannot be brought through roundabout ways that don't involve, even though they don't involve a Torah level violation of carrying from one domain to another, i.e. Derech Gagos, carrying it from over rooftops. Let us say you have apartments or buildings that are very close to one another, and you would be able to bring the knife from its location to where the baby is by skipping from over one roof to the next roof without going through any public thoroughfares, or Derech Chatzeros, courtyards, or Derech Karpifos, other enclosed areas that are not that rabbinically speaking one is not allowed to carry in them. Nevertheless, don't bring the knife, even though the whole restriction is purely rabbinic in nature, and even though as a result of the non-circumcision the father is not going to do his Korban Pesach. So what do we see? Again, this was the third example of where the Chachomim imposed their rabbinic restriction, namely the prohibition of carrying through these non-Torah level domains, at the expense of this person doing his Korban Pesach. As we go on in the Gemara, you notice three inverted triangles will now appear. These are the three cases where the Rabbanan did not insist on their rabbinic restriction, because otherwise the person would not do his Korban Pesach. Onain ha-damor. On the case of the Onain, we spoke about already, his close relative died, and that day he is considered an Onain, and yet the night that follows he will be allowed to participate in eating a Korban Pesach, even though there is a concept of Aninus Laila de Rabbonan, and we know the impact of that, because that same person will not be able to partake of other sacrifices that the night following the death of his close relative. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, because it involves an Isur Kores, a punishment of Kores, he is allowed, and the rabbis don't impose their rabbinic restriction of Aninus Laila, the nighttime Aninus. Mitzora Maihi, what's the case of Mitzora? Mitzora is a where there's a skin discoloration that the Torah speaks about at great length, resulting in a person becoming Tomei. When a person is an established Mitzora Muchlat, he is Tomei until the discoloration, the Nega, as it's referred to, disappears, and at that point he has to wait a period of 8 days before he becomes Tohar. Namely, there's a 7-day purification period, and on the 8th day he brings sacrifices, and after that he becomes Tohar. So now this, we have the source says Desanya. The Gemara asks, Mitzora Mai, what's the case of Mitzora where the Rabbanan don't impose their rabbinic restriction? Now, this is a point that takes a number of lines to develop, and that's why we have a long point marking. Technically, it's an answer. We can call this a long answer, because the Gemara is asking a question of what is the case of Mitzora, and the Gemara answers, Desanya Mitzora, Shechal Shmini Shaloi Ve'erev HaPesach. So we already introduced that. The 14th of Nisan falls out on the 8th day of this Mitzora's purification period. And on that 8th day, he has to bring sacrifices, and he's expected to come to the eastern gateway of the temple courtyard in anticipation of a special blood application to his thumbs that are extended into the courtyard, and that enables him to achieve his purification. But new information, Viral carried Bo Bayom, and he had a male emission on that very day. He becomes a Baal Keri. Now, a Baal Keri, just outside of this particular source, just in general, a male that experiences a semen release, he becomes Tomei for one day. And during that day, he goes to the mikveh, and at night, he becomes Tohor. That's general procedure. However, it should be known that a Baal Keri is a level of Tumah that precludes him from being located not only in the temple courtyard, but even on the temple mount. We refer to him as being Nishlach Mishnei Machnas. He's sent out of two encampments. There are three encampments that the Torah refers to in many places: Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, and Machne Yisrael. And in Jerusalem, it's manifest as the temple courtyard is Machne Shechina, the divine encampment. The temple mount is referred to as the Machne Levia, and the area outside the temple mount and within the walls of Yerushalayim is called Machne Yisrael. The Baal Keri is someone who is not allowed in the Machne Shechina nor the Machne Levia. He must stay outside the temple mount. That's by way of general information. The Baal Keri, after he immerses himself, he then becomes called a Tvul Yom. Let us now continue with the source. We saw a Metzora on his eighth day that experienced Keri. The source tells us, Tovel V'Ochel. He is able to immerse himself on that day, and of course after his mitzorah sacrifices are processed, and eat the Korban Pesach that night. Omru Chachomim, afal pi shetvul yom eino nichnas, even though a tvul yom is not to enter that area, ze nichnas, the Baal Keri, who's a tvul yom, the Baal Keri, after he immersed himself in the mikveh, he will enter that area. And he needs to enter that area because he needs to have the mitzora sacrificial blood applications that we described before. So that even though a Baal Keri, who's a tvul yom, is not allowed on the Har HaBayis, he's not allowed on the Temple Mount, this particular one will. The reasoning is, Mutav Yovoi Asei Shiesh Bo Kores, it's preferred that the laws of Korban Pesach, the effort to enable him to become eligible for the Korban Pesach, they come and supersede the Yidche Asei Shein Bo Kores. They come and supersede positive commands that don't carry with them a Kores penalty. Now, for this moment, the Gemara is going to change this, but for this moment, the idea is that the sending away of people that are Tomei is a positive command. If it's not fulfilled in this case, the Tvul Yom, if he ends up over there, but there's no Kores penalty involved with that. So for the sake of making him eligible for the Korban Pesach, we allow this Baal Keri, who's a Tvul Yom, it's a Baal Keri Tvul Yom, he immersed himself in the mikveh, to go to the Temple Mount and stand in the door of the Eastern Gate and have the application of the Mitzora Korbonus blood to him, in order to enable him to become eligible for the Korban Pesach that night. So we're superseding a rabbinic law of the Baal Keri Tvul Yom prohibition in favor of having the Korban Pesach fulfilled. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah on a strictly Torah level, afilu asay ein bo. There isn't even a Torah level prohibition of a balkeri tfu yom, balkeri after he immersed himself in the mikveh, and being on the Temple Mount. There isn't a Torah restriction whatsoever. It's purely rabbinic. Shinemar, the posuk that comes from Divrei Hayomim, from the Book of Chronicles, shows us that it was a more recent prohibition. But from the Torah standpoint, Tvul Yom Balkeri is not prohibited in being on the Temple Mount. The Pasuk says, Vayamod Yehoshaphat Bekal Yudov Yushalayim Beveis Hashem Lefnei HaChotzer HaChadosha. It says the king Yehoshaphat stood in front of the new courtyard. My Chotzer HaChadosha, what's the new courtyard? It doesn't mean anything. It has nothing to do with the physical newness of the courtyard, but rather newness in terms of halachas. Shechidshu bo dovar. They imposed a new ruling, and this is a rabbinic ruling. Shechidshu bo dovar v'yamru, and they said, they declared tvul yom lo yikones b'machne levia, that even though he immersed himself in a mikveh, he's not allowed to be in the machne levia. He's not allowed to be there at the Temple Mount. So what's the point over here? Rabbi Yochanan's comment is important in light of the Gemara, that the introduction that Rava presented, that we're dealing with something that's Divrehem. The Tvul Yom restriction is Divrehem, but Lohamidu Divrehem. They didn't impose their, insist on their rabbinic restriction, because it would have been at the expense of doing the Korban Pesach, which is a Chiyuv Kores. Beis HaPras Disnan. What's the case of Beis HaPras? So, in general, before we learn the Gemara, a Beis HaPras is a field in which there had been a grave, and the field was plowed up. A plow, as everyone can well imagine, has blades in it, and as the plow goes over the grave, wherever it was, it scatters the bones, and contact with the bones does impose, provided the bone is at least a barley grain in size, that imposes tumas mace. Now, a beis hapras is a situation where we have a doubt. We don't know where the tuma is. So the case of beis hapras is as follows. Disnan, v'shovin beishamei ubeis hillel, they will agree, sheboidkin le'oisei pesach, v'ein boidkin le'oichle truma. If a person, in order to be able to fulfill his korban pesach obligation, has to cut through a field in which the grave had been plowed up, so we allow a checking, and we'll explain that a little bit more momentarily, but we allow him to cut through, provided he does the proper checking for doing his Korban Pesach, but we don't rely on this checking. We don't allow him to cut through for the sake of eating Truma. Truma also demands purity, but if in order to get to his Truma he has to cut through a Beis HaPras, we don't allow. We say, I'll take the long way around or figure out some other solution. My boatkin, what do you mean about checking? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Menapeach Odom Beis HaPras V'Hoylech. What we will allow this person to do, Menapeach, is to blow, as is the case in using a bellows, for example, where you're fanning a fire. Or maybe get down on all fours and blow the dirt away in front of you. And what that will do is that if there are any small bones, so they'll scatter and you won't come into contact with them, and if they're large ones, so the blowing away of the dirt will reveal that there's a bone and avoid contact with it. So we allow this for the sake of getting to your Korban Pesach, getting to do the Korban Pesach, not for some other purpose. Rav Yehuda Bar Abaye Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Omar Beis HaPras Shenidash Tohor. Imagine the field we just described, but in addition to it having been plowed up, it was also trampled through. The the masses cut through the field, trampling as they walk through. Since it's been trampled, it's been trodden underfoot, any bones that would have been there certainly would have been crushed. So there's no bone material left that is a barley grain in size. And therefore, if you check it out, as you investigate whether this Beis HaPras has been trampled, that also is something to check out, and you could cut through that. We take a look at a couple points in Rashi. We're going to work out of order. The last Rashi, Shenidash Beregel, trodden underfoot, Tohor. It establishes the field as being Tohor. Shedrisas Haraglayim Hafirosan. The trampling underfoot of that property moved away any problems. Vabo Lasus Pisco, someone who needs to do his Korban Pesach, Yivdok Im Nidash. Fiyavor, he checks out whether it's been trampled, trodden underfoot, and can then cut through. Avol achilas truma lo samchinun alav. Shiochol lahamtin. But with regard to a person who needs to cut through that same field for eating truma, we don't rely on that. He can wait. He can go the long way around, and even though it's going to cost him time. Not so in the case of a Korban Pesach, where he has a fixed time to do it. Obeis HaPras midivrehem. This din is a rabbinic law. Velohem midum b'mokum kores de Pesach. In other words, from the Torah standpoint, certainly a trampled field, one doesn't have to consider that there's tumas mace over there. But the rabbis say that you do have to concern yourself with that possibility, as you can see in the case of truma. But in the case of the Korban Pesach, so the Rabbonin waive their prohibition and allow him to cut through. The Rashi beforehand, Menapeach Beis HaPras, Rashi explains, he gives you the background that we try to explain orally. Rashi says, Who saw the Shenechrash Bo Kever? A Beis HaPras is a field in which a grave had been plowed up, Kidisnan, a Churish Beis HaKever, Hareze Oise Beis HaPras, Meloi Mane Meo Amo. Melo Mane is the distance that a plow is drawn before it turns around to plow a second furrow. And the standard distance is 100 amas. So an area of 100 amas around the grave is considered under this Beis HaPras suspicion. The Gozer Rabbonon, Shemo, Kitso Machreshas Atzamos Upizrasan Berchamane. We're afraid that maybe the plow cut through the body, the grave, and the body was chopped up through the black plow blades, scattered them for the distance of the plow run. The Yeshkan Etzim Kisora, the Avor Visiteno. And if we allow a person to cut through the field, if he just walk through without any checking, he just walk through and might end up moving a bone that's a barley grain in size. Etzim Kisora Metamed Magvul Masa, Dainu Hesit. The bone, barley grain in size, even though there's no overshadowing type defilement, nevertheless, contact and movement, which is known as hesed, if you cause its movement, even without direct contact, that does impose defilement of the dead. Tumas meis, hilkoch menabchoi befiv, he can blow the earth away with his mouth. Could use a bellows too. V'imyesh etzem godol yireno. If there's a large bone, so his blowing away of the dirt will expose it. V'etzem kisura nitcha benefichoso, and a small barley grain sized bone will be moved away through the mere force of his breath. V'oihel ein mitamo deha ein tumas oil bat somos ela rov binyan v'rov minyan. As far as overshadowing is concerned, that is not a problem, because when it comes to bones don't impose Tumas Meis through Ohel, through overshadowing, unless you're dealing with a majority portion of a skeleton, either in terms of majority of size or majority of numbers of bones. with that, you can see we've concluded the perek, and now we start the ninth perek of Sochem, perek Mi Shehoya. Mi Shehoya Tomei O Bederech Rechoika, someone who was defiled, and of course we're talking about the 14th of Nisan, the time for doing the Korban Pesach, or he was Bederech Rechoka. The expression Derech Rechoka literally is he was a long distance away. We will see it by looking at Rashi and Sukkis in the Gemara that Derech Rechoka means that during the 6 hours that are available for the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, which takes place from right after noon till sundown, those are the hours available for Shechitas HaPesach. During that entire time period, he's too far from the Beis HaMikdash. He wouldn't be able to get to the Beis HaMikdash during that time period. So he's considered Bederech Rechoika. So a person who is either Tomei or Derech Rechoika, Velo Osa Es HaRishon, and he didn't do his Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, Yaseh Es HaSheni. He does the makeup Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. That's the second Pesach. Shogag oy nenas. He, as a result of either some type of mistake or under some form of duress, velo also es harishon, and didn't do his korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan, yase es hasheni. So he does pesach sheni. Im kein lomo nemar tome o shohoya bederach rechoika. Why does the Torah emphasize these examples? She'elu pturin mikores, ve'elu chayovim mikores. Now this is very difficult. This line is very difficult. If you simply rely on reading a Mishnah and translating, you would come out with something that's very difficult to understand. And the literal reading of this Mishnah comes out as follows: that the Tomei and Derech Rechoka are exempt from the kores penalty for not having done a Korban Pesach. And the others, the shogeg or oines, would be chayev kores. And that is impossible to imagine. Someone, because of circumstances of duress, was unable to do a korban pesach. Why in the world should he be chayev kores? So we will see more about this later in the Gemara. The topic heading on the side, we have the nosei. We've written, hayad bederech rechoika, v'shachatoi, v'zarko olav. A person happened to be at that distance, namely all 6 hours of Shechitas HaPesach, he couldn't come in, but others processed for this person a Korban Pesach. And by nighttime, he will have had enough time to arrive, and he'll arrive and eat. So he was Bederech Rechoika during the hours allotted to the Korban Pesach, to the preparation, the Shechit of the Korban Pesach. V'shachtu v'zarku olav. We will see a machloikis. If he gets credit for that, namely, will he then be exempt from doing a Pesach Sheni? The machlokis will be between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So now we turn to the Gemara Itmar. Hoya b'derech rechoika v'shachta v'zorko olav. A person was far, and as we described during those 6 hours, he would not have been able to make it to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. V'shachta v'zorko olav. But others processed for him his Korban Pesach. And by evening, he will arrive and eat from it. Is he considered as having fulfilled his mitzvah? Rav Nachman Omar Hurtza. Rav Sheshes Omar Lo Hurtza. Hurtza means accepted. According to Rav Nachman, it's an acceptable sacrifice, and he's exempt from Pesach Sheni. Now, we may have mentioned it very quickly, but let's go over it again. The Torah speaks about a person who is Tomei or Bederech Rechoka. The Pasuk itself offers an exemption for someone who is far away. What the Gemara is describing, even though he had the Torah exemption, nevertheless, a Korban Pesach was done for him, and he eats it in the evening. Does he get credit? So Rav Nachman says, yes. Rav Sheshes Amar Lo Hurtza, no, he doesn't get credit, and he won't be exempt. He'll have to do a Pesach Sheni. And now we go over the Shitas in a more elaborate form. Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, he gets credit. Ah, the Torah says he doesn't have to do the Korban Pesach? Mechasu de Chosrachmana Olav. The Torah was expressing its compassion for him, giving an allowance for someone like that that was at a distance. However, vi Ovid Tavoy Olav Brochavi. If they went out of his way for him and processed the Korban Pesach from which he will eat that evening, then he should be blessed for those efforts. For Rav Sheshes Omar Lo Hurtza, he doesn't get credit because when the Torah says he's exempt as a result of being Bederech Rechoika, Midcha Dachi Rachmona Ketomei, the Torah is pushing him off just like a Tomei. And if a Tomei, if a Korban Pesach was done for someone that was Tomei, it would amount to nothing. So too, the Derech Rechoka person, and he needs to do a Pesach Sheni. On the side of the Gemara, we introduce the diamonds that we see. They are Mekoros Shel Rav Nachman V'Rav Sheshes. These are sources for these two Amoraic opinions. You will see the use of a squiggle underline in the course of this section of Gemara, and that is an attempt to show, present a ma'akav achar hadusiach, an attempt to keep track of the give and take between the two opinions. Omar Rav Nachman, we're in the Gemara first diamond, Mino Amino Law, from where do I know my position? Desnan. Now, again, what was Rav Nachman's position? That even though he was exempt, if it's done for him, he gets credit. He's potter from Pesach Sheni. So we have the Mishnah says, and if he didn't do the first one, so he does a second, he does the Pesach Sheni, the makeup Korban Pesach. Now, the language of Velo Asa implies that had he wanted to, it could have been done for him. Namely, he could have appointed emissaries to do the Korban Pesach on his behalf. So the language of the Mishnah of Allah also implies the possibility of him having had it done for him and getting credit for it. Rav Sheshes Omar Loch, Rav Sheshes says, I hachi seifa de katani. The seifa of the Mishnah says, Shogago inenas veloy also es harishon, yas es hasheni. The person, by mistake, or because of circumstances beyond his control, didn't do the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, he does it on the 14th of Iyar. Now, are you going to use the same reasoning over here? Midiktoni velo also michlal de'i boy ovad. This person who was Shogagor Nenas, are you going to tell me he is someone that if he wanted to, he could have done it? Hare Shogag, Hare Nenas. He was mistaken. He wouldn't have even thought about it, or he was under circumstances of duress. So you can't prove from Velo Asa some kind of idea that implies these people could have done it. So what am I going to do with the language, though? What about that language, Velo Asa, which implies he could have done it? Elo amazed kotoni behadayhu. There's an unwritten example that is actually taught along with them. So that when you read the Sefer of the Mishnah, you're in your mind's eye, you're seeing not only Shogag or Nenas, but you're also seeing Mazid, someone who deliberately didn't do it. Now, someone like that, he could have done it. So the expression Velo Asa is appropriate, but not for the cases of Shogag or Nenas that are spelled out. It's for the unspoken case of Mazid, which is also taught in the Mishnah. Like, once again, it's understood to be in the Mishnah, even though the word doesn't appear. Hachanami, so too with regard to the Reisha from which you, Rav Nachman, were trying to prove your point by Derech Rechoka, the Reisha Velo Asa expression is not referring to Derech Rechoka. It's referring to another case that wasn't spelled out, but was understood and taught along with the two cases of the Reisha, Oinein Kotoni Vadayu. Let's read that again. Hachanami Oinein Kotoni Vadayu. So too in the Reisha where Lo Asa appeared, the case of Oinein was taught along with them. Now, the case of Oinein is someone who was restricted on that day from doing the Korban Pesach, but that night he was eligible to eligible to eat from the Korban Pesach. So in the Reisha we have three cases. Two are spelled out and the third is understood. You have someone that was Tomei, or he was Bederech Rechoika, or he was an Oinein. And the Mishnah is telling me that if he didn't do the Korban Pesach as a result of his being an Onein, he has a makeup Korban Pesach. But we also know that the Onein is someone that could have had it done for him, and he would have been eligible to eat from it that night and fulfilled his Korban Pesach obligation. So that the expression of Velo Osa, which implies someone could have done and fulfilled, applies, true, it applies to the Onein, but not to the Derech Rechoika. So all of this essentially is Rav Sheshes' rejection of Rav Nachman's proof to his position based on the expression of Velo Osa. Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisin Nami Daika. By careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see that there are missing words, in other words, or terms that are expected to be understood, even though they don't appear black and white in the Mishnah text. Don't forget, the Mishnayos were part of they constitute the oral tradition. So, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, when he wrote the Mishnayos, he wrote them in a rather abbreviated fashion, so that shouldn't come as a great surprise that you could have information that is actually understood, but doesn't appear black on white, being that it is deliberately terse. So, what is Rav Ashi's proof that Mazid is to be understood? That these are Mazid and Onein are really part of the Mishnah. So he says, Dekotoni, it says in our Mishnah, Elu Pturin mi Kores vi Elu Chayovin bi Kores. Ahei, who are the people concerning whom we can say are Chayev Kores? Don't forget, we read the Mishnah before in a literal fashion, and we posed the problem. In lemo ashoigeg venenas, if you're going to say that the chayav kores is referring to them, the person who forgot or the person who was under duress and couldn't do the korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan, shogeg venenas bnei kores ninhu, are they subject to the kores punishment? It was beyond their control. Elo lav amazed v'oinein, the reference in the Mishnah to the people who would be Chayev Kores as a reference to those that are not spelled out in the text that we have, the cases of Mezid and Oinein. Those are people that if they don't see to it that the Korban Pesach is done, they will be Chayev Kores. Not so in the case of someone who was Tomei or someone who was Bederech Rechoika. And certainly not Shogeg nor Nenas. For Rav Nachman, now his response, Rav Nachman does not feel that Onein belongs in the Reisha. Rav Nachman feels that the Lo Osa expression is referring to the Derech Rechoka. That was his proof. Rav Nachman Omar Loch, Le'olam Amezid Lechudei. The expression in the Mishnah at the end that says Elu Chayovin is not referring to the Onein, it's referring only to the case of Mezid. Onein isn't part of the Mishnah as far as Rav Nachman is concerned. Ubedin hu deboy le lemisno chayov. Since Mezid is an expression in the singular, the language of the Mishnah should have, technically speaking, been in the singular, but it appears in the plural, which may have led someone to think that Onein is also included in that comment. Not so. The Mishnah should have said Chayov in the singular. V'hai dikotoni Chayovin. The Mishnah's use of the word Chayovin, which is the plural, they are Chayev Kores if they don't do their Pesach. The only reason the plural expression is used, Elu Chayovin, and referring to the singular case of Mezid, Ivi Detona Reisha Pturin, since the Reisha made reference to those that are exempt, and that is in the plural, a number of people are exempt, the Tomei, the Derech Ruchoika, the Shogeg, the Oines, all of those people are exempt from Kores, Tona Seifa Chayovin, therefore the Seifa, even though it's referring only to the Mezid case, it appears also for the sake of language balance, just like the ratio was in the plural. Pturin, the Seifa also uses an expression chayovin in the plural. So up to this point, Rav Nachman insists on his position that the Lashon of Velo Asa indicates he could have done it, and that's a reference to the Derech Rechoka, proving that had he wanted to, it could have been done and he would have received credit for it. Rav Sheshes felt that the Mishnah is to be understood otherwise, but Rav Nachman insists on his proof. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amin Allah. Now we turn to Rav Sheshes. Where do I know my position from? That a Derech Rechoka person who had the Korban Pesach done for him will not get credit. Desanya. Here we have a Tanaic source, Rabbi Kiva, Oimer Neemar Tomei, V'Neemar B'Derech Rechoka. The Torah speaks about these two people as being subject to fulfilling their Korban Pesach through Pesach Sheni. We continue at the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Ma tome shesipek biyodoi lasois vienoi oise af derech ruchoikonami shesipek biyodoi lasois vienoi oise. Well, take a look at the Rashi to explain this language. Rashi at the top, Ma tome shiesh sipek biyodo lasos. Sipek biyodo means he has the power to do it. Ilav didachya rachmona. Deha kamon koi. Technically speaking, the person who's tome is right here. He's right here in Yerushalayim. So physically, he could have done the Korban Pesach, if not for the fact that the Torah pushes him away. The Torah says, you shall not do the Korban Pesach. And when the Torah pushes him away, it's telling us that he gets no credit for his for Pesach Rishon. He is Tomei. So just like the Torah presents the Tomei in that fashion, Af Derech Ruchoka, so too, someone who is B'Derech Ruchoka is viewed the same way. Now, you'll ask, what do you mean Sipek Biyado? He's not here. So Rashi explains, he had the power to do the Korban Pesach through emissaries that would have offered on his behalf a Korban Pesach. So he has the power to do it, but the Torah pushes him away and says, even if you do it, you get no credit. Just like the case of the Tomei. For Rav Nachman Omar Loch, Rav Nachman's response is as follows. Rabbi Kiva Letaime. Rabbi Kiva, in presenting this Tanaic source as he does, is Rabbi Kiva according to his particular opinion, the Kosover Ein Sheichtin Vizorkin Al Tomei Sheretz. Rabbi Kiva holds that a person who is Tomei cannot have the let's say a person was Tomei Sheretz. That's a one-day Tumah that necessitates immersion in a mikveh and subsequent sundown. By night, he is Tohor. Yet Rabbi Kiva says that he cannot have a Korban Pesach done for him. Ein shochtem zoken al Tomei Sheretz. The Torah totally excludes a Tomei even from the Korban Pesach, even if it would be processed by others. So, with that in mind, I understand this extreme or this harsh approach that Rabbi Kiva takes, i.e., the Tomei is totally excluded, and it follows from that that the Derech Rechoka that's compared to the Tomei will be totally excluded. However, I, says Rav Nachman, V'ano, Svirali, I hold Kemando Amar Shochtin V'Zorkin Al Tomei Sheretz. I hold that even someone who is Tomei, as in the case of a Tomei Sheretz, if he's eligible that evening, he is allowed to have a Korban Pesach processed for him. And in that light, just like the Tomei Sheretz could get credit for his Korban Pesach, so too the Derech Rechoika could get credit for his Korban Pesach that's done for him. Let us take a look at the Rashi, four lines from the top. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Ein Shoichtin Vizorkin Al Tomei Sheretz. The Afagav the Chozi Lurta, even though he is eligible by nightfall to eat from the sacrifice. V'hai Sipek, the term Sipek that Rabbi Kiva used in the Mishnah on the top line, you'll notice the top line of the Gemara, in the Tanaic source of Rabbi Kiva, it said, Ma tome she sipek biyodo lasos. What does the word sipek mean? Hochi komar, Ma tome she sipek biyodo lasos means the chozi lemei chalourta. He has the power to eat that evening. Vafilu hochi, ein shochtin vizorkin olav. That's Shitas Rabbi Kiva. Even so, we will not process a korban pesach slaughter nor sprinkle the blood on his behalf. The Anan Sviralon says Rav Nachman, but we hold Shoichtin Vazarkin, that we will process a Korban Pesach for someone that's Tomei and eligible that evening. Hilkoch Hainami, the Yocholi Kones, B'Shas Achilo Shoichtin Vazarkin Olav. So too, just like the idea of Chozi Le'urta is enough reason for Shoichtin Vazarkin by the Tomei Sheretz, so too the Chozi Le'urta in the sense that he will arrive by evening, the Derech Rechoka person will arrive by evening to eat from it, he too will get credit if the Korban Pesach is done for him. So that's Rav Nachman's response to what Rav Sheshes has held to be his proof. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.